Bibles up to the book of Matthew and chapter number 14 tonight, the book of Matthew and chapter number 14. And we were starting yesterday, we spoke about the importance of the hearing of the Word of God. And obviously, the Bible says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. A lot of times we spend a lot of time talking about how people don't want to hear. But that's not what we're about, all right? You can't force somebody to hear. And if somebody doesn't want to hear, that's what can you do? What can you say? But when you read the Word of God, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so our responsibility is to be vocalizing, verbalizing, speaking the Word of God. Unfortunately, in the world today, the Word of God has been silenced, all right? Satan has worked extremely much to try to quench the Word of God getting into our world. In fact, you'll find that. But it doesn't excuse us as children of God from obedience and simply speaking the Word of God, what God says. And many times today we've grown silent, and we need to come back to that. So that we challenged you about that on Sunday in the morning service, and then last night, we laid down some more principles about that and about the necessity of taking the gospel to the world. And so we are doing things a little bit different this week and then probably what we have in the past for revivals, because the Bible teaches us not just to be what? Hearers of the word, to be what?
Doers.
To be doers. And unfortunately, many, many times we get a lot of knowledge and we get a lot of eating at the Word of God, but we don't take it out. And so that's what we're challenging with tonight. And so I'm not going to speak a very long time tonight. And I'm just telling you now, and obviously you don't have to, because it's what you do is between you and God. But I want to encourage you tonight, when you leave here, to go someplace before you go home and find somebody and try to talk to them a little bit about the Lord. And try to give them some thoughts from your heart and from your life. The Bible talks about, sometimes people say, what do I say? Just tell them what God has done for you. Amen? That's that simple. It really is. And many excuses we will have, we'll say, well, I'm not good at that. And well, that's good, because when you get good at it, you probably won't be good at it. All right? Because you'll be full of pride and not led by the Spirit of God. Challenged you last night to pray about where to go. If you weren't here last night, you say, well, good, I didn't pray about it, so I don't know where to go, so I'm not going to go. Amen? And that doesn't work. Ask God, all right? And if just realistically you say, well, it's going to be late, you know, we'll get out of here. The places that I normally would go are going to be closed. Then maybe you should ask God to enable you tomorrow, sometime before church tomorrow, to go someplace and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Now, you might choose a house. You might just walk down the street. You might want to go down to the park. But I'll promise you there will still be people around until 11 o'clock tonight. I know, because I hear them walking by this street here, you know, at all hours of the night. And so there are people around and out. And I know people will be, you know, many businesses are closed, but also the gas stations aren't. The Tim Hortons is probably still open for a while. McDonald's, places like that. There are places where you can find people. And I want to challenge you to go to them. Now, like I said, on Sunday, you don't go in and borrow the PA system and say, I'm here to tell everybody here how to get to heaven, all right? You'll get to do it once, all right? But if you do that, don't tell them you're from Castlegar Baptist Church, amen? And give them somebody else's church's name. But what we're talking about is being the salt and the light that God wants us to be. And so when you leave, there's some tracks that are in the wall. You might just take one or two with you, all right? Because we're not going out and saying, I want to try to hand out a bunch of literature, because that's not the purpose, all right? If that's what you do, that's fine. But just take one or two tracks with you and go someplace. Maybe take your family, if your family is extended and large. Maybe you don't want to all go together, but it's okay to. Maybe you want to go as a group. There's nothing wrong with that. You go to a group, that's fine. And go someplace. And here's what I'm trying to say. Be a normal person, all right? Be who you normally are, okay? So many times we put on what I call our soul-winning garb, you know. Well, now I'm going to go out and witness for Jesus. Well, probably at that moment when they see you, they go running, all right? And so just be a normal person. There is a time and a place where we focus in on things like that, but just be a normal person. Do whatever you would normally do. But purpose, that I am going to attempt to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And let me explain this tonight. That's more than just inviting them to church. All right? A lot of times we fall into the mode of just inviting people to church, inviting people to church, inviting people to church. Not a wrong thing, not a wicked thing, not a sinful thing. It's good to invite people to church. But let me just say this. You'll never find anywhere in the Scriptures where God commanded us to invite people to church. In fact, He says, go ye into and tell. And so we are to be a witness in the world and to talk to people outside of the assembly about Jesus Christ. And so I want to challenge you to not just invite them to church. Don't just say, now tomorrow is a great opportunity because we have that singing group tomorrow. By the way, if you are a teenager, it's a great chance to get free things. All right? They want you to come to their college. All right? So you say, man, that's a nice pen you got. Could I take a look at it? Well, I'd love to have one of these. You can get free pens, free hats. I don't know. Sometimes you get a free CD if you look it right. Okay? It's a great thing. They really want you to come to their college. All right? And if you got to give an email address, give Pastor Klein's. It's a great thing. All right? So, but I'm just telling you, we have a great opportunity tomorrow night. There'll be nice singing here. Have a nice time. And so, yeah, go ahead and invite people to come tomorrow to hear the singing, the music, and that's a great thing. But also look for an opportunity to share what God has done for you. And that's what I want to challenge you about as we go out tonight. And if you say, Brother Smith, I'm absolutely overwhelmed with that. I just don't think I can do it. Remember the verse that we shared the other night? Go. Out of the book of Mark, go and the Lord will be with you. All right? And do what you can do. Because if you do what God wants you to do, that's all that matters. If God tells you to leave here and go home and go to bed, then go home and go to bed. Amen? But make sure God told you to do that. All right? But ask God, Lord, where do you want me to go? Who should I talk to? I'm just going to do what you want. I want to challenge you with that tonight. Mark chapter 14 this evening. I want you to see a couple of principles from the Word of God here. Mark chapter 14, we begin reading in verse number 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 basketfuls. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. An amazing story in the ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've entitled this lesson tonight, this message tonight, The Ministry of people. We often look at this parable and this story, this real life illustration of Christ, and we get so interested in the fish and the bread, the multitudes of fish and bread that Jesus took and he multiplied and gave. But it's really not about the fish and bread, it's about the people. I like what the Bible says in verse 15. Verse number 19, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. I wonder tonight, has God given you anything? Amen. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many of you are saved tonight? Amen. And you are 100% sure, according to what the Bible teaches, that if you died, you'd be in heaven. Amen. Amen? Now, how many of you consider that a really good thing? Amen? Yeah. Now, let me say, if you're here tonight and you don't consider that a good thing and you don't think that you have that, you're living in a very dangerous position. Because if you don't know that you have eternal life, if you don't know that you're going to heaven, if you don't consider that a wonderful thing, then let me ask you a question. What are you going to have when you die? Nothing. Except for eternal separation and condemnation, according to the Bible. But if you're saved tonight, then God has given you something that is incredible. Mm-hmm. I was thinking today as Pastor and I were out and we were trying to give some Bibles in, and knocked on the door and offered a man a Bible. And as soon as I said the word Bible, he went, go, you know. And I walked away and I was thinking, I wonder if I would have said, I've got $1,000 for you. I wonder how he would have responded. I might try it tomorrow. If anybody wants to loan me $1,000, you won't get it back. All right, I'll promise you, I'll give it away. Amen. But I mean, really, if you understand what I'm saying, that if we really value what God has given us for what we say it is, can we not share it with others? Can we not give it to the multitudes that are all around us that don't have it? This is an interesting story of Jesus Christ and the multitudes as he told the disciples this. But here's what's fascinating. Turn over to chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, I don't know exactly how much time has passed. It's kind of hard to always figure the timing of things out in the Bible. God doesn't give us all the days and hours all the time. But in Matthew chapter 15, we have another time in the life of the disciples. Look at verse 30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. You can see what's happening here, can't you? I mean, all these people that are sick and hurting, and they're just bringing them by the loads of them, and they're casting them at Jesus' feet, and Jesus is quite busy healing them and healing them. In verse 31, insomuch that the multitude wondered, when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Now hold on a second. This is not a story being told again. This is an event that happened a second time. We have an event back in Matthew chapter 14 where Jesus had taken his disciples and gone into the wilderness because John the Baptist had been beheaded, and Jesus teaching and teaching and teaching. The people are sitting there, and Jesus says, I'm not going to send these people away hungry. I'm going to give them bread. And the disciples at that time say, where are you going to get so much bread? In fact, even in the first story, Jesus told his disciples, feed them. And they said, where are we going to get this much bread to feed this people? And Jesus said, what do you have? And they said, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And Jesus took it and fed the multitudes. Now some time has passed. Once again, they're in the wilderness. They're teaching, they're healing, they're doing miracles. 3 days. And not one of the disciples comes up to Jesus during the 3 days and says, Jesus, the people are hungry. Could we make some more fish and bread for them? Now, I think the disciples had the attitude that they had even back in the previous chapter when they said to Jesus, send them away. They didn't care about the people. They weren't interested in the multitudes. The disciples were solely interested in one thing. Themselves. How about God's people today? Have we fallen into the same mode? We come to church. We love preaching. Love the Word of God. Bring the preacher in. Preach the Word of God. Share the Word of God. Boy, we love to hear the preaching. We're filling up with bread, aren't we? But what about those that don't have it? What about every person that is not saved tonight, that is not born again? It's interesting. Jesus said in our second story in Matthew 15, when Jesus said, I have compassion and going to feed them, the disciples said unto him in verse 33, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have you? Get this. And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. They had bread. Isn't that amazing? The disciples had bread and fishes. They didn't have to go searching and looking and trying to figure it out. When Jesus said, well, what do you have? They said, we got 7 loaves and a few fishes, but we're going to keep it for ourselves. And what did Jesus say? Sit them down and let's feed them again. Oh, do you see the point? How many times does Jesus have to say, feed the people? Feed the people. Feed the people. And when he says feed the people, what do the disciples say? We don't have anything. I wonder how many times tonight God has to say, go be a witness. Go be a witness. Go be a witness. And God's people say, I don't have anything to say. And God says, well, what do you have? Well, I've only been in church for 8 years, 7 years, 6 years, 5 years. I've only heard hundreds of hours of preaching in Sunday school, and our church memorizes Bible verses every Sunday, and God saved me. Do you realize tonight what's in this room? Do you realize tonight how much that you've been given? But what about the multitude? You say, but Brother Smith, what I have seems like so little. Why don't you give it tonight and see what God does? Why don't you obey God and say, Lord, here's the fish and bread that I have. Lord, I don't know all the Bible and I don't know the answers to every question they're going to ask. But Lord, I know that you told me to go. So I'm going to go. And I'm going to offer what you've given me and see what God does. Remember, it's not us that saves anybody. It's His Word that works. And God wants us to break that bread and give it to the multitudes. We could go on and on tonight with illustrations in the Bible, the excuses. I'm reminded of how many times people say, well, I've given it, but nobody appreciated it. Remember the story in Luke 17 when Jesus healed the lepers? There were 10 of them. He healed all 10 of them, and they walked away, and as they were walking away, they realized they were healed. And only one of those lepers came back and said, thank you, Jesus. And Jesus noted, he said, where were there not 10? You know, where are the 9? But you know what? The next time Jesus found lepers, he didn't say, no, I'm not healing lepers anymore. Last time I did this, they were not very appreciative. No, he just healed some more lepers, didn't he? And you don't find Jesus looking for fame and reward and recognition. In fact, many times when he would heal them, he would say, shh, don't tell anybody. But the word kept getting out. Insomuch, the Bible says that he could no longer enter into the cities, but he went out into the desert places. That's why he was out in the desert place, is because they kept coming and coming to him. Oh, that we would have the compassion that Jesus Christ had. The story of the Good Samaritan. We know that story. Going down into the ditch, taking what he had and binding up that man's wounds and putting him on his own donkey, taking him to an inn and saying, take care of him. And so tonight, a ministry of people. The Bible says in the book of Jude, and of some have compassion, making a difference. I wrote down just some simple thoughts tonight that'll help us. First of all is this one. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24. Proverbs chapter number 18, verse number 24. The Bible says this. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to say tonight, when you go out into the lost and dying world, into a community that needs the Lord Jesus Christ, why not be friendly? Amen. I've had people say, well, I'm just not friendly by nature. You're right. That's your old nature. Amen. That's your sinful nature. But the new nature in Christ is a friendly nature. Did you know that? The nature of Christ is different than the nature of the old man. When I'm an old grump, it's not Christ. Amen. When I'm pushy and selfish and wanting my way, and that's not Christ. You don't ever see that in Christ. That's not the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was gracious. He was kind. And so, remember, we're talking about being salt and light. Maybe tonight when you go out and you leave here and you're on your way home and you go to the place wherever you feel that God would have you to be, maybe what you accomplish tonight is simply that friendliness. Well, I just don't believe that's what God wants us to do. Really? Maybe you should study your Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ did nothing but good. Did He not? I mean, if they were blind, crippled, I mean, we already read the story how they brought them to Him and cast Him at His feet, and He healed, 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 and He healed. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Many years ago in India, we ran a medical clinic over there. Took a doctor, an ER doctor, emergency room doctor over with us, and we ran a medical clinic, and I don't think I've ever been so tired in my entire life. As when the word got out in that Indian village that we had a doctor there and we had free medicine, wow. They brought them in wheelbarrows. They brought them in vehicles. They drug them. They brought them. I mean, they just, people kept coming and piling in and piling in. And we realized that we had a real big problem. We had to stop telling people because we don't have enough medicines for all these people. And I remember that poor doctor as he worked and labored and worked and labored and treating people. And, you know, we're taking blood pressures and temperatures and writing things down. And we're giving the gospel to those people. And it's just one after another and one after another and one after another. And after a while, I kind of understand why the disciples said to Jesus, send them away. But Jesus didn't send them away. He said, feed them. Do people ever bother you? I'll raise my hand. But then I must remind myself, I'm one of those people. I'm so glad that God in heaven didn't look down at me and say, go away. I'm glad that God put up with me. Because the rest of that verse in Proverbs says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I wonder today if God's people need to go back to simply being friendly. Being different. We live in a world full of unfriendly people, don't we? Boy, it's hard to be kind, isn't it? It's hard to go out of your way and help that person because our flesh and our attitude and everything inside of us says, I don't want to help them. I don't want to invest in them. I don't want to go out of my way. But if the Spirit of God inside of you is saying, do it. Do it. Now, I understand. I've had people come up to me and say, God told me that you were supposed to buy me this. And I say, well, as soon as he tells me, I will do it. Amen. I understand the manipulation of people. But I'm talking about when God really tells you. And God says, and you know, don't you? If you're saved, you know when you haven't been kind. And God rebukes you. Well, don't you think it's time we change that? And learn from that? Be friendly. The second thing that I have, I draw from the book of John, chapter number 4. John chapter number 4, we know the story perhaps there of Jesus as he sat by the well and he conversed with a woman who had great needs, and it's a tremendous conversation that I'm not going to study tonight. I just want to draw your attention though to verse 35. When Jesus said to his disciples, after this entire city came out to hear Jesus because the woman said, the Messiah is at the well. Jesus said these words in John 4:35 to his disciples, say not ye there yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And I want to say the second thing is be focused. All right. Yes, we need to be friendly, but God doesn't just want us to go out and be friendly. All right. But we are to be focused upon the need. And what is the need? People need the gospel. But we're listening to God and we're being kind and we're being gracious and we're asking God to give us wisdom and words at the right opportunity, that we would say what He would want us to say, that we would do what He would want us to do. And it is easy to get out of focus. Sometimes we get out of focus because we're busy. But we got to be here and you got to do this and you got to go to this place. You got to get this accomplished. And so you rush, 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 and you get in, you get what you need to get done, and you get on your way, and you didn't even shine for Jesus Christ. And boy, you can live your whole life that way, weeks and months. And that's why sometimes you have to step back and say, you know what? Right now I'm going to purpose to get back on track. How many of you men ever took a gun out into the gun range and you sighted it in? And you examined that scope and made sure it was what? Ready for hunting season, right? Because if you don't have that gun sighted in, if it's not in focus so that it works right, you're going to miss every deer you shoot at. I know from experience. Grabbing a gun from my dad's house and going hunting because I just arrived in Colorado, taking the gun out and can't hit nothing all season long. And finally taking it out one day and saying, what's wrong with this gun? Man, I'm not even touching the target. and getting it in focus, you can go out the next day and, wow, makes a world of difference. Sometimes our Christian life gets just like that. And we just need to stop what we're doing because, let me tell you, if you say, well, yeah, I'm going to fix this evangelism in my life and I'm going to get back to it, but you don't take some steps to purposely do it, I'll promise you it won't happen. You'll just be stirred in your heart and you'll have some information and you'll go away the same. So that's why I'm saying you need a purpose. And so, you know what, I'm going to take some time right now and I'm going to go to that place and I'm going to be friendly. I'm going to ask God to lead me and give me an opportunity. I'm going to focus on giving the gospel. And then John chapter number 8 says this, because this is so important. In John chapter number 8, as Jesus was talking again to a multitude of people and teaching them and speaking to them, predominantly a religious crowd, but he made this statement in John chapter 8 verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so number 3, I wrote down this very important principle, the truth, or be factual. Speak the truth. You see, sometimes the truth is hard to speak, is it not? But Ephesians tells us to speak the truth in love. And so you're friendly, you realize that you have a purpose to speak to somebody, and you've got to get to the truth. And what's the truth? They need Jesus Christ. They need the Lord. And we can't be so kind and so friendly that we don't actually get to the heart of the matter in the conversation as God would lead and say, you need Christ. You're not saved. You're not going to heaven. What you believe is not the truth. So many times you meet people and you ask them about eternal things, and we'll talk about some of those things on Wednesday night a little bit about some of the things we would talk about in a conversation with somebody, but you talk about them and they believe something totally different than what the Bible says. Now, I don't think you put your finger in their face and say, you are believing a lie, buddy. But you do need to tell the truth. You need to let them know the truth by saying, this is what God's Word says, not what I say. This is what God's Word says. And maybe you will have your Bible with you and you can show them, or maybe you have memorized the verse, or maybe you simply do take a Bible track and say, listen, let me read these verses to you. Because it is the truth that will make you free and nothing else. And Jesus Christ said that He is the way, the truth, and the life in John chapter 14. And so we do need to get to the facts, the truth. But at the same time, the way I present a truth to my children when they were 3 and 4 years old, and how I present a truth to them when they are 11 and 12 years old, can be a little bit different, right? Because when someone's having a hard time understanding, you know, you might need to make an illustration. You might need to do like Jesus did. Do you know how Jesus told the truth many times? Jesus said, let me tell you a story, a parable. And He just told people a story, a parable. And as He told the parable, He had their interest and they were listening, and some were in the middle of it. Questions started to ask, and He said, I'm talking about you. There's lots of ways to speak the truth factually. You don't always have to light their shirt on fire and say, how does it feel to be burning? But you can tell the truth, right? And you have to get to the truth with people. May not happen in the first conversation, may not happen the first time you meet them, but you need to be seeking to get to that point where you can share with them the Word of God. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Our actions and our words to speak the truth. And then I just wrote one last thought down. Let us be frequent in doing this. Not just one time, not just one day a week or one week a month, say, oh, I'm going to go out and speak the truth to people and be friendly. Let it become our life. So that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we might be in the middle of our day, but we're still being the salt and the light. In other words, we're listening to the Spirit of God. And we might be buying things in the store. We might be just walking down the pathway. We might be getting our gas. We might be on the phone. We might even be on that blessed internet, you know. But we're listening to the Spirit of God. And we're engaged with somebody and we start to talk to them about our God, how good He is to us. We're taking the bread that God has given to us and we're breaking it and we're sharing it with others. Has God saved you? Can I ask you a question tonight? Have you passed that bread on to somebody else? When you get out into the world, do you see the multitudes? You passed by them on your way to church tonight. You drove by them. You saw them. You'll pass by them on your way home tonight. Tomorrow when you go to work, you'll be around them. They'll be your neighbors. They might be in a store. They might be at school. You know you're saved? Why don't you break the bread and give it to them? You say, well, I'm just a young person. Well, if you're saved, you can still break the bread and give it to them, can you not? You say, well, I'm old and I have a hard time. Yeah, but God still left you here, right? Somehow, some way, God has a purpose for you to share that bread of life. You say, well, I don't speak very good. That's okay. God still made you for a purpose. Share the word of life. You say, all I can do is give them a track and say, read it. Okay, then start there. Amen. Start there. But don't let week after week, month after month, year after year go by in your Christian existence and never pass on the bread of life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray.